It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey.
Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Sal Capaccio joins the show now on the Wester Hotline. White helmets. I forgot about that for tonight. White helmets for the Bengals.
Bengals. White jerseys, white on white with tiger stripes.
Yes. Even though, am I the only one that is like, don't those look like zebras?
I wonder how they'll look on TV. I think they look pretty cool in the shots. Sometimes, you know, uniforms look good in promotional photo shoots, but not necessarily on TV. So I'm excited to see them.
Sal, how do we feel about the white helmet idea for the Bengals tonight?
I'm okay with it. You know, when they came out, I was like, yeah, those are pretty cool, pretty slick. Like, yeah, I want to see what they look. I think it's not just the white helmet. It's the white on white, I think, right? It's the whole overall look that kind of that people like. It's not just the helmet.
Yeah. I haven't thought about this until right now. I'm surprised the league didn't push back that they look too much like referees now. Right?
They do, right?
They're wearing white and black.
Yeah. If we get one pass tonight or one moment where, like, Burrow thinks that one of the refs is a receiver and he throws it to him, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be a story.
Or, I'm sure, you know, Dolphins fans can complain about playing against the Zebras all night. There were, you know, 17 on the field or whatever.
Yes. We'll get, obviously, to all the injuries the Bills have and practice, and we'll start looking ahead to the Ravens game. But how about this game tonight for you, Sal? The Bengals, the spread we were talking about, it's a little weird that Cincy is favored by 4, which makes them the favorite even if you, you know, discount like the home field advantage. It's obviously big for psyche about the Dolphins and like what they are, because Sal, if they win this game, it'll be hard for anybody to remain being a doubter about them.
First, why do you think that's weird having that spread? I think that's kind of right where it should be.
Because we've heard a lot of this year that because of the home field advantage changes, that now the books actually treat home field more like 1.5 as opposed to 3. And I don't know, doesn't it feel weird that the Bengals, for how bad they've looked through 3 games, would be considered 2.5 points better than Miami?
It doesn't to me, only because I don't think Miami's looked that great. I think that their defense has not been good. I think they've made some plays on offense. It's great, but also... Like, I mean, you're still talking about a short week, Thursday night, going on the road to the AFC champions. And even though the AFC champs haven't looked like the AFC champs, I would still definitely take the roster of the Bengals over the roster of the Dolphins, I think. I guess, I don't know. I think that's about what it feels like to me. Maybe a point or so heavy. If you would have guessed, I didn't even know what the spread was till you said it. I would have guessed like a 3-point spread. I would have guessed, you know, their Bengals would be favored. But anyway, yes, if the Dolphins go to Cincinnati tonight and they do win the game, I think it definitely ramps up like what we've been talking about the Dolphins, what we've been hearing about them, and even a lot of the doubters, as you say, have to kind of recognize what they're doing. And I'm recognizing, even though I still don't think like their defense is all that great. I think, you know, they're living on the big play on offense, even against Buffalo. 3rd and 22 is kind of what did it for them. So I think I still need to see more consistency out of the Dolphins in order for me to really believe they're one of these, you know, upper teams in the NFL. I see these power rankings coming out, and they're number one in the league. I think that's ridiculous, to be quite honest with you.
How about Tua's injury? And it's back and it's ankle, and obviously the video everyone has seen about him being wobbly after being hit by Matt Milano on Sunday. Are you skeptical at all about that? Are we past that? Are we at a point now where it's like you kind of have to believe that it is the back?
Well, I am skeptical. I also don't think there's anything can be done about it. I think that, to me, so I saw him, it was even before he like got up, like he reached for his head after he hit the ground, he sat up, he reached for his head. I thought he was going to take his helmet off. And he didn't. He kind of put it like his hands on his chin strap, and then he kind of fixed his helmet on his head. And clearly his head hit the back of, his back of the head hit the ground, right? So we know something happened there. Look, I also will tell you, I think almost any quarterback would probably say, no, it's not my head, it's my back, because they want to play, right? I mean, almost anybody would do that. I would think that, you know, I understand safety and all that, and you're supposed to, hey, you know, you have a head injury, but these guys are competitive, they want to play. So from that standpoint, I understand that he's going to do that. I have a lot of questions about how that was treated, what it was defined as. And I think the biggest smoking gun here, guys, is The team announced he was being treated for a head injury. I mean, that's what they announced. And then it was a back injury after that. Now, maybe because they did look at a head injury and they said there really is none. I mean, that is possible. The independent neurologist said, well, we looked at his head, but there was nothing. So why did he wobble? So now let's go into tonight. I mean, he's got injuries. He's questionable to play. I think Armando Salguero reported he is going to start. I think that was the report. But he is questionable. He is banged up. They're pretty banged up. So I would say, Joe, that I think we're past the point of whether or not it was true or not, but because there's nothing you can do about it.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester hotline. So let's get to the Bills. Practice yesterday, 15 names on the injury report. And Sal, that is a stark difference from, a year ago at this time, there might have been two names on the injury report, and now 15. So of the injured names, who sticks out to you the most?
Yeah, so 15 names. I think two of them are vet rest days, right?
Right, yes.
So that eliminates a couple. And a bunch of those names are limited who did play last week. So if you played in the game and you're limited, I would think that that's pretty much means you're on track to play this week. I think the more concerning ones are the guys who didn't play, who are limited, but they're still limited, and that's encouraging. And then the guys who obviously did not play and also did not practice. I think it's getting better. I know it sounds weird to say with 15, but the only one we really know about, sorry guys, excuse me, I got a siren going by here. Hope that doesn't interfere with you here.
All good.
So I think the only one we know about now is Jordan Phillips, who we know is not going to play this week. At least Sean McDermott basically gave a strong indication that that's what they're feeling, that they are going to target next week for him to return. We know that who's Jake Kumerow. Jake Kumerow's not going to play. He's a high ankle sprain. Christian Benford. I think those are the three, Phillips, Kumerow, and Benford, who we kind of know are not going to play. I think everybody else is possible. I mean, even Dane Jackson being back at practice in a limited fashion, wearing a red jersey. Even Jordan Poyer being back. You know, Gabe Davis, he's still limited. So you're right. I mean, it is a big change. It's also early. I also think that, as I always point out to people, it's Wednesday. It's the first day of practice of the week, kind of. They're getting back from Miami where they were banged up. They had a lot of guys, you know, with the heat issues and things like that. I mean, like, I think a guy like Dawson Knox. So Dawson Knox is on the injury report. He's limited. You know, we talked to him in the locker room after. He said he's just sore. You know, he got the shot in the head, and then he cramped up. He took IVs and seemed like everything's going to be fine. So I think we have to wait until really today and then tomorrow to really see where all this goes with these guys.
Yeah, Sal, as bad as it seems, like the list comes out, and I see tons of names, and I think, oh, boy, it's going to be a rough ride. It does have the feel to me of at least, you know, if no new injuries crop up, within 3 weeks they might be largely healthy. Jordan Phillips doesn't sound that far away. Ed Oliver has been, around the team? He's leading stretches. Like, it just seems, and Tre'Davious White's return. Like, there's three big names on the defense that, at least from the outside looking in, don't appear to be too far away. So this injury issue that's hitting them, it's a lot, but it's not necessarily, it doesn't have to be a long-term thing.
That's exactly right. I guess the only issue would be if you get guys who get injured during that period, right? You're waiting for a few guys to come back. What happens if this week they get a couple more injuries? That can always happen. I think that's what starts happening. It piles up. You get guys back, but other guys go out. So let's talk about, you know, what the next couple weeks looks like. Tre'Davious White is eligible to come off IR next week, next Tuesday, basically, if they choose to do that. If they do, he can begin practicing, and then they have 21 days to put him on the active roster. He can practice and not play in the game. You know, they can ramp him up if they want. They do not have to put him on the field next week, because if they do, then that clock starts. If they don't, then the clock doesn't start until they do. Marquez Stevenson's in the same boat. Now, we'll see. I mean, that seems like it might have been a little bit longer term with this foot injury. But honestly, like with the injuries and everything, you wouldn't be surprised if all of a sudden you're sitting there in a couple of weeks and like, hey, Marquez Stevenson is starting to practice, right? So I said Tre'Davious White IR. Of course, I meant PUP. And then Marquez Stevenson's on IR. He's in that same boat, so he can start practicing again. So you're going to get some reinforcements. They do have a bye week coming up in a few weeks. You know, one thing that I've heard a lot about, you guys might have as well, is, you know, we've talked so much about how well they've managed injuries over a few years and how much the new, you know, facility and sports science and the training center plays into that. And there's always been a debate, well, how much luck is versus that? And I will tell you, it's not luck. They've done a great job of that. But you cannot prevent football injuries from happening during playing football. You just can't. Guys get hit. I mean, they roll ankles. They hurt their neck. You know what I mean? That happens during football. What they do, though, is the facility, the sports science and everything, it allows guys to recover a little quicker, it allows more than anything to help prevent more of the soft tissue injuries. And really, you only have one of those right now, and that's Jordan Phillips' hamstring, guys. Everything else, I would say, is stuff that happens, like, you know, guys getting hit, bones, things like that, concussion situations. You know, Ryan Bates in concussion protocol, that's another one we can add, we don't know. But it's so funny to me, like, the minute this starts to happen, I get a lot of people who say to me, well, I thought that sports science stuff in the training facility was supposed to prevent all this.
Yeah.
No, nobody can prevent all this kind of stuff. This is football.
Yeah. I was told there would never be an injury again.
Yeah, I know, right? I know. Come on.
Sal, I want to get your thoughts on something. Joe and I talked about an hour ago about James Cook, his role, the draft pick, what it's supposed to be, what it can obviously still become, because he's a second-round pick, and when the pick is made at the time, you know, you talked a lot about position flexibility and maybe don't treat him as a running back, talk about him as a pass catcher. He fumbles his first snap. He did have a drop in Miami. I guess I wonder if you think over the course of the season, do you expect to see more from him? Do you think that did you expect to see a little more from him three games in? Because he does appear to be a bit of an afterthought in the offense. And for a second-round pick at that position that we thought coming into the year would be a playmaker, there are not a lot of plays being made. You could put that on the coaches not designing stuff or on Cook needing to be better. But it does feel like I'm going to be focusing on him more and more as the weeks go on, looking for more from this player.
I definitely would have expected more from him out of the first 3 weeks. I never thought he would be all of a sudden taking Devin Singletary's role or challenging him right away. I always thought that maybe that starts to come a little bit more by the end of the year. I always felt Devin Singletary would be the number one guy. But what I am surprised at is that he's not even mixed in more. He's not mixed more in the passing game. He's not getting more targets and touches. I will say, though, I do think we're starting to see a little inkling of that. I thought last week was a little glimpse of that, where they started to really involve him a little more. He's on the field at the goal line. Bulldog pointed out yesterday he's on that play at the goal line where the Bills kind of botched the snap and Allen has to fumble fall on it. Maybe that's a play it goes to him. Then they threw him the ball a couple of times out of the backfield. One time he dropped it. He's got to watch the ball into his hands. He's trying to catch it as he's running. He didn't slow down enough to kind of grab it and corral it. Those are the little things, though, why he's not on the field, I'm guessing. Right, guys? Like,
yeah.
The fumble on his very first snap, the drop pass in Miami where, you know, you got to be able to bring that in. Like, those are the reasons why he's not on the field maybe as much, but when he is on the field or when he's getting his opportunities and he does make a catch or a run, sometimes you can see a little bit. He made a move in the hole on a guy, you know, against Miami where it was just like, oh my gosh, what a nice move that was. You kind of saw the athleticism and the change of direction. I would answer your question, yes, though, Jeremy. I am surprised that he hasn't been more involved. I also think it's early, and I do expect him to start to get more involved based on just kind of the way it's starting to look a little bit.
I don't know if you heard the clip from Boomer Esiason yesterday on Kay Adams' podcast about Saquon Barkley, and if he were to be traded, the Bills would make sense as a landing spot. And what is that idea for you? I know what you just said about Cook will play into this as well, and the fact that we haven't had a long look at him yet. And he has a lot of the same types of, you know, speed and ability to make guys miss that Barkley has. But what is that idea for you? If the Giants go on a losing streak here and they get to a point where, okay, yeah, we could sell off a piece, we're probably not going to make the playoffs, should the Bills be in on that?
Boy, that's a tough one. I don't think they would, because I just think it's just not the kind of move they're interested in making. You know, the salary that they'd have to pay, even prorated, you know, they'd have to pay the rest of his salary, and you're talking about, you know, 2 months, because it's trading deadline is Halloween, right around Halloween. That's November, December. You'd have to pay more than half his base salary. What are you talking about giving up as far as assets? Brandon Bean doesn't want to do that necessarily. But I will say, this team's trying to win a Super Bowl. They went out and signed Von Miller to 6 years, $120 million, $20 million a year, because they're trying to win a Super Bowl. If Brandon Bean sits back and says, okay, I got to do something, I got to help this running game, and this guy's available, and I think I can win a Super Bowl, I certainly wouldn't put it past him. I think he would find a way to try and do that, because I think that's what this year is about. It just doesn't scream like the kind of move he would make or feel that that's the case. Would he feel that he was a running back away when he has Josh Allen? He basically throws or runs the ball on 75% of the plays that the Bills are, you know, what are you doing with Saquon Barkley? Like, does that all of a sudden your fundamental philosophy of your offense change? Because I think you almost have to do that in that situation. On top of the fact that I definitely wouldn't see them trading for him and then giving him a contract. And if the Bills are going to trade for him and give up a pretty good asset, that might be something they would you would normally do in that situation, but they wouldn't do in this situation.
Don't you think they'd be more likely to make a move on the line if they felt they needed to get better in the run game?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I mean, look, I still think that they probably feel, now, granted, there are some injuries. They did sign Justin Murray, to the roster. I think they probably feel that their line answers are going to come internally, and that's because they have Aaron Cromer, who's a good coach. They have guys that, you know, have been a bit banged up. Missing Mitch Morris was big. Now missing Tommy Doyle, obviously. Things like that. Spencer Brown went out of the game last week. Ryan Bates went out of the game. You know, I think that they probably feel they didn't. They played Aaron Donald and Jeffrey Simmons the first couple weeks. Now, they didn't against Miami. Miami blitzed the heck out of them. You know, so I think that there's probably not, to me, there's not panic on the offensive line. I think they feel they still are in a good spot there. They do. And, you know, we'll see where that goes. That's, to me, something that between now and the trade deadline, though, Jeremy, they probably would evaluate for sure.
One other thing, just heading back to practice from yesterday for a moment here. Xavier Rhodes on the field for the first time in a Bills helmet in a practice uniform. And he's on the practice squad officially, right? So he would have to be elevated. And I know fans are wondering whether he would play as soon as this Sunday. So how does that work? If Rhodes were ready to play, when would we really know? And when would we find out that he would be, you know, going into the lineup?
4 p.m. Saturday. That's the deadline. So it's funny, Matt Bove and I did a podcast last night, so that'll be out today. It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. We had this same discussion. I said to Matt, what I'll tell you right now, I absolutely would not be surprised if Xavier Rhodes was, I'll say Xavier, you do say the X, by the way, I asked him, okay, if Xavier Rhodes was elevated to the active roster and, he played right away. I mean, that's why you get a veteran this time of year. You don't get a guy who's maybe, you know, in his first or second year. You get a veteran who's been in systems, has been in with Leslie Frazier, is familiar with it, and he's been keeping himself in shape, right? He's been working out. He's ready to play. I would not be surprised if he is elevated and he plays. And then, I'll spoil it, Matt said, 100% he thinks he's elevated, and he thinks he'll start, which is interesting, mm-hmm. Right? I said, well, I think Jamarcus Ingram would still start. He's the guy. And Matt said he thinks actually Xavier Rhodes would start. So you got both of us thinking he's going to be on the team. He's going to get elevated. The reason why, it's an advantage, by the way, to Kim on the practice squad right now. You do not have to use up an active roster spot, and yet you can still elevate him for an active roster spot on the game day. And you can do that three times before you have to kind of have him go through or release him officially.
Right.
So this is kind of like, it's a roster game, it's a puzzle, but this is the way to do it. You put him on the practice squad so he doesn't cost you an active roster spot and you have to get rid of somebody, but you can still have him ready for game day by elevating him because you get two guys to elevate every week.
Well, while we're on corner, actually, for just a second here, we have not talked almost at all about Kyer Elam since the beginning of the season, and like we've talked about Cook even here, like he's not really a part of the offense a whole lot. And Elam was a first-round pick that didn't start his first couple of games. The sixth-round rookie did over him. And I'm not saying that has to be, you know, a criticism of Elam. But, you know, he's played at least a little bit in each of these three games, and last week he starts. But I don't know that I've noticed him, Sal. And for a corner, I guess that could be a good thing, though.
Yeah, I think because we haven't seen him. Nobody's been talking about him getting beat, right? We haven't said, oh, my God, he made this bad play. He got beat real bad here. And I think that considering where he was in the first couple of weeks of camp and we were a little concerned, he was a little grabby and, you know, he's going against Diggs and Davis and, you know, he'd win some, but he'd lose quite a few. That was a bit of a concern. It's not. I mean, he's played. He's been on the field. Now, he only started one game, but, you know, he played in L.A. and he played against Tennessee. And I think he's been fine. I think he's done the job adequately. At some point, you might need to see more from him. He might need to might want to make plays, right? Make bigger plays. But right now, rookie being thrown into this situation, especially having a fellow rookie opposite him, I think in conjunction with each other, they've done a fine job. But I do think, Joe, that there's a point to be made here that at some point, you're going to want to see a splash play being made. You're going to want to see something like, hey, you're a first-round pick. Change the game. Make a pick. Force a fumble. If he doesn't and he plays fine, that's fine. That's solid. But I think that's like kind of that's kind of the goal here, to get to a level where you're making a difference in some respect as well.
All right, Sal. Did you remember to put your waiver bids in this week for Jeremy's Guillotine League? Jeremy, I don't know if you noticed,
he completely
forgot about waivers last week or didn't know what day it was on.
Sal said that, yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I thought it was an extra day last week. It wasn't, and yet I still had the third most points with the team I had,
yes,
because I picked up believe it or not, I picked up Isaiah McKenzie thinking he actually would have a role, and he did, which helped me. And I had some other guys have good days. So I did. I picked up Christian Kirk on waivers. I bid on him and Mike Evans, by the way, and I got Christian Kirk, which is fine with me. So I'll add him into my lineup. My lineup's starting to look a little stronger. Feel a little better about that right now. It's not great, not exactly where I want it, but I think that I'm liking my chances of surviving another week.
The important question is, you know, after convincing Howard the way of the guillotine, how fun it is, are you all the way there seeing, like, this format is different and it's definitely worth being in at least one of them?
Yes, I like it a lot. I do. It is different. It's so weird because I think because it's my first year in it, I have to remind myself sometimes about only one person's out, right? Like, oh my God, my team, like, I'm looking, I have a really low score. And then I'm like, oh, wait, there's a guy behind me. Oh, there's three guys behind me, right? I mean, like, so I think that's the part of it that gets me to, okay, and then I can kind of concentrate on some. I'm in four leagues, and that's a lot for me, but I'm in four leagues, right? One's a guillotine, and three, the other three are regular head-to-head leagues. But, you know, I want to kind of, I don't have a lot of time to devote to it every week, so at least the guillotine league, I will say, the one advantage I have is, yeah, I'm just like, whatever, you do it on my Tuesday waiver wire, and maybe throughout the week I look, but really, once it comes time for Sunday or Monday, I'm not really dialed in on the matchup because there is no matchup.
Right. You just trust the process and see what happens.
Exactly. And, you know, you say, like, all right, well, I got a good chance of not being last, I guess.
And the other thing that you'll like about it, and, you know, this goes for anybody, when you do get eliminated, you're just like, all right, well, that's over. It's not like having a bad team. You're trying to, like, lift this bad team and think, what can I do to save this team? It's just over.
Are there weeks that are two eliminations?
We have 1 week. Thanksgiving week, we will have a double elimination. That is
okay, because how many teams are in the league?
We have 20 teams in the league because it's not standard guillotine necessarily to do that. You can kind of craft it however you want. We added more people, so we added a double elimination and a three-team final. We kind of did it so you and Joe could be in the league. And it, you know, pushes up the price.
So that's what I'm wondering. So how does what do you mean a three-team final week?
The last week of the season, instead of being week 18, it'll be week 17. More players are likely to play.
Yep.
The highest score. It's just like American Idol. One person goes off every week, and then the final, it's whoever has the high score of the three.
I got you. Yes. Okay, so, I didn't know. That's why I was wondering, because the number of teams didn't match up with the weeks and all that. That's what I was wondering.
We kind of tweaked it this year to see you know, how that would work, and you know, we'll see how it goes.
All right. Well, I'm going to move on from this conversation because I'm already.
Oh, that's right, Joe. Were you in this league, or that you were gone week one? I'm sorry.
Does that even count?
I forgot about that.
Does that?
Sal, did you know that Joe was out week one?
So, like, did Vince Young play for the Bills? Like, was I even in this guillotine league?
Oh yeah, you made the reference page.
It's on my reference page.
It's on your Wikipedia.
That Pro Football Reference. You look like somebody who had one game. They're still on the Pro Football Reference page.
Yes.
You're on the guillotine reference page for one game play.
It's the emptiest reference page.
If you don't have a Wikipedia, Joe, I want someone to create a Wikipedia for you just to say, famously known for going out week one in the guillotine league. That's all I want as your bio.
It's like in the first sentence, like known for being eliminated. Ugh, okay. All right. Thanks, Sal. We'll talk at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, we got Charles Davis at 11 o'clock today. Get a little talk. He's doing the game with Ian Eagle on Sunday. And, of course, Joe, you'll have sneaky starts and sits, and I'll have Three Dog Thursday.
All right. Love it. Talk to you then.
Okay.
All right, so Capaccio on the Wester hotline. When we come back, toss around Dawson Knox a little bit here. We're three games into him with a new contract, and I'm not saying I want to blast Dawson Knox or anything, but maybe there's a
talk. No, Christian Wilkins did that.
Christian Wilkins did
is that. Is that who hit him?
Yes, right? I think so.
Oh, my God. It's one of the hard. I mean, I cringed.
Yeah.
It's hard.
I, like, gasped when I saw it. Dawson Knox, his new contract. Of course, we'll talk some more Ravens as we progress here, as we get closer to Sunday's game. And we've got Scott Pianowski, Yahoo Fantasy Sports, coming up at 9.
We've got to get you the funny Bill Belichick comment of the day as well.
Yes.
There's a beauty from New England for those of us that just love to enjoy Bill Belichick talking.